When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 171 of Star Wars and Scotch. Again, we have a wonderful guest for you. We are joined by Anne Munition. Anne, how the hell are you?
Hello, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Tim's here as well.
Hello.
Tim's here.
Hi, hey.
And it's me, Kevin. I'm here as always. But we're going to get into Star Wars stuff with Anne in just a minute. But before we do that, Tim, what kind of King's Coast coffee did you drink this morning?
Oh, I actually had Darkness Blend today.
Oh, so. Self-promotion.
Self-promotion. Switched it up.
But hey.
You know, a little Darkness Blend.
Summer's around the corner, though. So if they want Spring Surge, they need to act soon. So
Summer swells right around the corner.
Yeah, so if you want that Spring Surge, get that. Also, got to look at some new fun merchandise today that hopefully we'll see down the... Tim didn't see it. He didn't look in the chat. Also, Tim, you're making the merchandise, we decided.
Cool.
So
nice.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Just want to let Tim know all of that right now.
Thank you.
But head it over to kingscoastcoffee.com. You can grab a bag today. Get that Darkness Blend. I hear it's wonderful.
Pretty good.
KingsCoastCoffee.com. GCX is around the corner. It's much closer than we think. I just finished all the programming this week, so
nice
we
job,
are ready
Kevin.
For you. Thank you. But we are ready for you in August 16th and 17th, Rosenshingle Creek, Orlando, Florida. After party announcement is coming very soon. We did have to make some edits to the announcement, so that's why you haven't seen it yet. But that'll be out. After dark announcement will be coming very soon. But come join your favorite content creators, hang out with us, raise money for a good cause, and be on vacation. That's GCX in a nutshell. So GCXevent.com, get your tickets, come hang out, and have a good time. Anne.
Yes.
So you've been a content creator now for how many years?
10 years.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Very old.
We are old.
I know. I just turned 34 on Sunday, too.
I won't say how old I am.
You don't have to. That's fine.
But most people that watch your content know that you're a huge Star Wars fan. All they have to do is look in the background of your stream.
Yes.
And they would know. I want to know the Millennium Falcon that's behind you. How long did it take you to build that?
That was about 35 hours. But I did the whole thing on stream. And so I always tell people that I feel like I could probably do it faster if I weren't distracted by... Like, if you've ever done a Lego build on stream, it's a lot of, like... stopping to kind of explain things and, you know, answer questions and everything. So, but that one, yeah, that's 7,500 pieces. It took about 35 hours.
What about the Star Destroyer behind you?
That one is about 4,500 pieces, and I think it took around 20 or 22 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So if you're listening, definitely head over to Anne's stream and look at both of the things we're talking about right now.
And then there's a small Falcon here-ish.
Oh yeah.
That you can't see as well, but that's like. It's about this big, so it's just the baby version.
Very cool, very cool. And then you have the Stormtrooper helmet behind you as well. Is there any significance to that?
Yeah, that was a gift from one of my friends. Do you guys know Pluto, who works at Twitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he and I are good friends, and he had like an artist commission that, and it's got my logo painted on it and everything, and yeah, it's really cool.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So one thing we ask all the guests when they come on is, where does it start for you? Tim remembers watching it with his siblings and his parents back in the day. I remember seeing Return of the Jedi at my aunt's house. That was where I started. Where does it start for Anne with you and Star Wars?
I really actually don't know, because my sister, I have an older sister. She's only a year older than me, and I'm pretty sure she hasn't even seen all of the movies, or at least like the original, and then like, you know, the prequel trilogy and stuff like that. She like, I don't even know if she watched all of them. So I don't remember there being a moment where like my family was enjoying Star Wars together. And I think it was one of those things that I kind of just came upon myself, you know, where I started digging into it more, and I got really into science fiction stuff. And, you know, that just, I think I decided that I was going to like Star Wars, even though my family didn't have any real like ties to it or anything.
Cool. So you're into Star Wars now. What's like the movie that stands out to you the most, like the most significant one? For me, again, Return of the Jedi. My cousin and I immediately went outside, found sticks and turned them into lightsabers and beat the hell out of each other. What's like your moment there where it was like, I'm hooked now, I'm in?
Yeah, Return of the Jedi that's a really good one. I think I'm more of a Star Wars book nerd. And so awesome. I started getting really invested in Star Wars the more I read. Because the movies, it's like, I mean, the original trilogy obviously has the nostalgia, and it's like always gonna have a special place in my heart. The prequel trilogy definitely has its moments of, you know, like the lightsaber battle on Mustafar, probably one of the most epic like cinema moments for me. But really what's like pulled me into Star Wars was really when I started reading the books. So,
And I'm assuming that was Legends content at that point that you were reading originally.
Yeah. I don't know. What have they classified all of the Zahn stuff as now? It's like not
like canon. Heir to the Empire?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all Legends canon.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's mostly all of that stuff.
There's no wrong or right answer to this. Is there pre-Disney, post-Disney that you prefer when it comes to the books, or is it just, you know, you just like both and it's all Star Wars to you? Pre-Disney,
yeah,
Legends?
Pre-Disney, yeah. Yeah. That's most of the stuff that I've read. So.
Is Heir to the Empire like numero uno, or is there another book that's your favorite?
Heir to the Empire, yes, and also the Darth Bane trilogy is up there for me. There's also the Maul Lockdown book that I really like, where he's like in a prison and is trying to figure out, I don't know, he's like, it's like kind of a detective slash just Darth, or, you know, Maul being crazy in prison. So I like those. I started reading some of the High Republic books, because those are the ones that they were like the post-Disney, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those ones are a little weird for me, because they're not like a continuous story, right? They're like kind of jumping all over the place with those.
Yes, it's terrible. See, yeah. Kevin?
See, yeah, I started reading one of them, and I was like, oh, this isn't really for me. And then I was like, wait, this doesn't even continue in the next book, and I don't know.
Yeah, phase one was like a whole point in time, and then we went into phase two of High Republic, which was like 250 years in the past.
Okay.
And then in phase three, which is the new set of books that are coming out, we then jump back in time to where we left off.
Mm. In phase one. Yeah. So it's phase two comes first, then phase one, then phase three, which I think was a terrible idea when it comes to introducing new, because the only familiar character we know is Yoda. Every other character in the High Republic is brand new to us.
And there's a lot of books that come out where they're trying to tell a bunch of different stories. So like the first book told a whole thing, and then the second book was talking about a whole different group of characters. So it's a lot. The High Republic, the first couple of books took a lot to explain.
Yeah. That and I think it's, which one is I think it's Fate of the Jedi, that Luke is gets like kicked from the council, basically. He gets like exiled temporarily, and then he and his son are trying to uncover what Jason learned when he went on his whole adventure. I don't remember if that's Fate of the Jedi or if it's another one that
Fate of the Jedi is like Jason's like Odyssey, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so then it's
on, like,
the other one that
5-year journey.
The name of it is escaping me. It's like nine or so books of Luke and going on like his own adventures with his son, and then Leia and Han like doing all their whole like political scoundrel stuff, you know? I can't remember what series that is now.
So when it comes to comparing the two, I guess you call them timelines, if you will. There's really no other way to put it. is there Disney content you enjoy, whether that be film, TV, books, or is it, I'm kind of just a Legends fan, and the new stuff's good, but it ain't great.
Andor yeah. was phenomenal. Yeah, that's that and Rogue One are like the two pieces of like new age Star Wars stuff that I, in terms of like TV or film, that I really enjoyed. And we were talking about, like, I kind of struggle with some of the animated movies, and I know that with it being Disney and with it being, like, Star Wars has always been pretty family-friendly in terms of content. And so I know that, I feel like they have a lot of shows that are kind of more geared to that. Whereas I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten more into, like, hard science fiction, and I would love, I don't think it'll ever happen, but I would love for Disney to do more, like, adult topic type of things, you know, like I mentioned Darth Bane, you know, the whole rule of two creation and all that stuff is really awesome, but I can't see them ever really like making media about it that would do, like, if they're going to make that and try and like PG-ify it, I don't think it would work super well. But
like PG-13 or rated R Star Wars.
Right. I would love to see more adult stuff, because a lot of it feels like is just, it feels like a lot of more, like, shows that are geared toward children or like selling merchandise, you know?
Yeah.
They would have to essentially give that to Fox, because I don't think Disney can make rated R content. So they'd have to Deadpool it essentially the way Marvel did it. But I just read this week, even there, like, Deadpool wasn't allowed in X-Men 97 because of his place in the Disney ecosystem. Yes. Cause they wanted to include him. So, I've heard people theorize like what they could do. We've talked about the Blackwing Plague that the stormtroopers get, where they turn into zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's things like that that they could do if they wanted to. I think we saw it with Marvel too. And I think Marvel has a little more breathing room when it comes to making rated R stuff. But Werewolf by Night was probably the most racy adult Disney content they made. I could see them pushing farther into PG-13 and TV-14, because Andor pushed the boundary a little bit, in my opinion.
Executing people. Like, they executed people. It.
We had a post-sex scene in one of the scenes, like, where the what's-her-name was getting out of bed in her underwear and stuff. So that was kind of, I think, them testing the waters to see. And since I think Andor is generally, everyone that's watched it has said it's the best Star, even my wife, who's not a Star Wars fan, loved Andor. She thought it was one of the best Star Wars pieces she's ever watched. She also loves Ahsoka, but again, two different reasons. So I think we could in the future potentially see probably more PG-13. I think rated R would be too far for the Star Wars IP for Disney.
Yeah.
But you could do Darth Bane PG-13. You could get away with that, I'm pretty sure. I mean, you'd have to leave out some of the Darth Xana scenes, but...
Yeah, see, that's why I'm like, I just don't want... I don't... If they're going to do Darth Bane, don't do it if you're going to do it PG-13, right?
Yeah.
You know? So, like, that's kind of my thing. So I was looking at, I was looking for my books, because Legacy of the Force is the Jason timeline, whereas Fate of the Jedi, which is the one that I was talking about, is, like, post Jason, post Yuuzhan Vong and all that stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like I've just had that problem with a lot of the TV shows that they've been putting out, that it feels like if they were willing to go a little bit further, if they could, for their ratings, and, like, I understand that it's not like the IP and stuff like that. For me personally, I think I would enjoy it more. But also I'm like acknowledging and understanding that that's not how it works for Disney, you know, like, it's just not, that's just not how it is. It's just that I wish that I could have that. Like, I would love a rated R, like, movie of Darth Maul in prison, like, fighting other inmates to the death. Sounds so cool, right? But, like, we'll never have that with Disney. Like, they're just not gonna do that.
I think they slapped him on a spider. He was pretty terrifying, though. Like, would love to see a scary rated R Darth Maul. I like that idea. No, yeah, terrifying Darth Maul in prison. I'm here for it.
Yeah. There's, like, a lot of those characters that I feel like they could have done more with, and then it felt like, because they were like, well, the good guys have to win, and it has to be PG, so...
Every damn time.
Yeah, so we got to throw the bad guy in the trash, and then that's it.
See, Kevin, that's what I was saying about last week with, what's-her-face? She just flipped so quickly.
Who?
Oh, Barriss?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I...
I feel you. I mean, there's, I feel like that's what, and our age group grew up with KOTOR, and KOTOR, you had the option to make the decision of where you wanted your character to go. So you could be the Supreme Emperor of the galaxy, rule all and dominate, or you could be this, you know, benevolent Jedi-esque person. So I think when it comes to our generation, we had the choices with games like that. Even in Force Unleashed, you had choices as to how you wanted to proceed through the story.
Sure.
So, I mean, we're used to that. And then we grew up on the ancillary content, like the books and stuff in Legends, where some of those characters were very ambiguous. They weren't black and white, good, evil. Yeah. And I think Disney Star Wars now, not when they first took over, is doing a better job of telling those stories and making the characters, you know, well, here's the light side character who's fallen or not sure of themselves. And here's the dark side character that can have redemption and, you know, or here's the person that you really can't peg them for who they are or what they could be. My wife and I are watching Game of Thrones all the way again through getting ready for House of the Dragon.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And Jaime Lannister, like every episode, I either hate his guts or I feel so bad for him. And I would love more characters like that in Star Wars where you can't tell.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, which ways? I think Thrawn could be that, but like Tim has said a million times, they're not doing it in live action. They're not getting him to that place where you question, like, what are his motives? Why is he doing this? Is he doing this for the better good? Like, what is it? So, I think Disney's doing a better job. I still think they could do a better job with more characters like that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to video games, What's your Star Wars video game list look like?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I mean, I did play KOTOR when I was younger. I would love if we could have that like modern day, you know, like a remake of that, but with modern technology.
Do you feel like we're ever gonna get it?
I don't know. Wasn't there supposed to be like a remake and then it got like shelved or something?
Yeah. It's been canceled and back on and canceled and back on.
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, it would be great.
Offended when we're like, we don't believe them that they're actually making it. Like, how could you believe we're not actually working on this thing?
I have no idea.
It was like, because we don't know what's going on. You guys are so confused. So, yeah, I mean, I would love.
EA made it. We know it would be canceled.
Like I'm really, I am canceled, looking forward to Outlaws because I'm hoping that that's going to be good. I've been replaying Horizon Forbidden West right now.
Yeah,
I
saw that.
And I would love like an open world Star Wars game where like you don't even have to be like necessarily a Jedi. You know, we've gotten a couple Jedi games recently, but you were talking about how there's so like the universe of Star Wars is so interesting to me already. It's got, you know, it has this like cyberpunk vibe, the like kind of retro futurism in some of it, and it's like such a cool universe to explore that I wish that we would explore more of the universe rather than it just being like Luke, Leia, lightsaber fights, and like these are the Jedi, these are the Sith, these guys are obviously good, these guys are obviously bad, they fight each other, like that's it, you know. So I would love to see more like that. I did play the most recent couple, was it Jedi Survivor and forget the name of the other one.
Fallen Order,
yeah. I liked those. They were fine. They didn't like, they weren't like my favorite games that I've ever played. And then I did play Force Unleashed, but man, it's been a while. At Battlefront, you know, I really liked, there was not the most recent Battlefront, but the one I think that came out right before that, that had some of the most fun, like combat, like space combat. I loved that. I spent a lot of time just flying around and having space battles. That was really fun.
We need more of those. We need more like the TIE Fighter, X-Wing.
They did like make that one games. That was like Rogue Squadron or something.
Squadrons.
They did. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was okay. It like wasn't great, but
the PvP was not for me. But like getting to fly around was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what there was that Battlefront game that was, it was, the flying was super fun. And then they made Squadrons and I was like, why is the flying now suddenly not fun anymore? Like, what did you take away from it? Because it was really fun at first, you know.
Yeah, it went from being less arcadey. They wanted to be more like flight sim.
Yeah,
so they wanted you to like have like sticks hooked up, and like they wanted to be like Star
VR
Citizen
flight. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That wasn't for me. But I did like the Battlefront games and those like kind of big scale battles, even where you're just, you know, running around as a stormtrooper or as a just like a rebel, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you just see Darth Maul go flying by. It'd be terrifying if that were real.
Speaking of Star Wars video games, have you guys seen the mods for Helldivers?
Uh-huh.
I haven't, no.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so there is a mod team that has put together all of Clone Wars in Helldivers 2.
Oh.
So there's clone troopers, there's battleships, there's different droids.
Cool.
That you can fight against. There's like the B2s, the B1s that have like the like sword arms and whatnot. Give them with the link in chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's even the ships, the drop ships now are Republic Star Cruisers.
That's impressive.
Yeah, the automatons, like the Saw Boys are K2 droids. It's pretty wild the way they were able to manipulate everything. And they, apparently you could still play multiplayer with it, which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I'd be so afraid of the anti-cheat flagging my account.
Maybe they know Arrowhead really can't start doing that after the last fiasco. So.
Maybe. I don't know, but it looks so good.
It looks amazing. Yeah, this is really cool.
It's going to be up on Nexus Mods completely by the end of the week, according to the modders. So,
modders are just crazy. They can.
Oh, the life force, man.
It's wild. Like how people that are fans of a game can make it better than the people that made the damn game.
And doesn't it's like really sense. Convincing too. It looks very realistic to me in terms of, you know, this looks like it could be an official, you know, Star Wars IP connection thing for Helldivers.
Cool. We just need more indie games, more indie Star Wars games. It will never happen.
Yeah.
The mouse will never let it happen.
You can't, no one can afford the licensing fees. That's the problem, is the money it takes to use the IP.
Right.
We're working on the deal with that company and that thing, Tim, right now, the ones I told you I spoke to yesterday. And like, you're talking seven figures in licensing fees, just for a year to use their name and likeness of that. So sometimes it's more, sometimes it's eight. So that's a problem. If an indie dev wanted to pony up the money or they could kickstart it, I'm sure. Yeah. But like that alone, you would have to clear how many, you know, game sales just for the licensing fee, let alone labor and all the other stuff that comes along with it. So that's why we'll never see that. So modding everything to Star Wars is pretty much all we have right now.
Yeah. Dang.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick commercial break and we'll get right back to asking ammunition more questions right after this.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay. And we're back. Tim, you're on the clock. Go.
All right, and I've got a few questions for you. Ready?
Okay, I feel pressured all of a sudden.
If you had a lightsaber, what color would it be?
Like magenta, probably.
Magenta. Yeah.
So like Balin from Ahsoka, like that colorish? Or is that too, that's probably more orangey.
Yeah, I was thinking more of like a purple mixed with red.
Favorite lightsaber fight?
Favorite lightsaber fight?
Could be in any form of medium.
Could be a book.
Well, I think I would just, if it's going to be a fast answer, it's probably got to be the Obi-Wan versus Anakin on Mustafar. Just the music combined with the setting, combined with the sword play, I guess is the word.
Sure.
That plus, I want to go back to when you said before, you were like asking about like formative kind of Star Wars moments. Okay. Darth Maul in the theater holding out his lightsaber and the one side extends and then the other side. When you discovered that was like a double-sided lightsaber, that moment, that's a really good one. You're like, holy crap. Everybody else only has one lightsaber. This guy's got two. That's crazy.
Favorite Star Wars quote?
Quote? Oh, God. Pretty much, I would say 80% of the lines that Leia gives people in the books, if you haven't read the books, she's very sassy, and I love it because she's always putting people in their place when they try and sass her. I say don't tell me the odds a lot. So probably that. That and Han's situation normal. Nice. Nice. Yeah. Situation it's normal. A, it's how are you?
Kevin, do you remember what that blaster is?
No.
Oh, God damn it.
It's eternally Han's blaster.
DL-44.
DL-44. Yeah,
DL-44.
Like DL-44.
That's what he said, huh?
That's what I said, right? I thought you were going to pull out Bane's Equality is a Lie from the Bane trilogy. That's like
he
one
says
of my
so many
favorite
cool things. That's why, like, this is why lightning round things. It's so hard because there's so many lines, right? Like, there's so many awesome quotes. I just can't.
Just gotta pick one.
I have a terrible memory too, so I have to look it up. Otherwise, I'll forget it. So
there we go.
Okay, was that it?
That was it.
That was, yeah, that's all my
just a couple.
Lightning
just a couple,
okay,
just
cool.
a couple quick. Just a couple quick ones.
Nice.
Have you been to Disney yet? To Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah, I did. I have been on the Rise of the Resistance ride. I think that they added something else since I have been there, but I don't remember what it was. But I have been to the with the big Falcon and everything. Yeah.
Did you build a lightsaber?
I did. Yes, I have one hanging on my wall over there, and then I have one here on my desk. You can see that it's that's the one that came from the Jedi Survivor Collector's Edition.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I have built one, and then I also have that one.
When you did you enjoy the experience? Because I think that lightsaber building experience is one of the best things they put in the park.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I would say, I mean, like, it's just one of those things that it was like nice to do, and then it was like a nice memory. But I think for me, the thing that really blew me away was the actual ride for the Rise of Resistance, because of how unique it was. And like, that to me is, I don't really like roller coasters a lot because I get motion sick super easy. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actual roller coasters, I'm not big on, but I think that kind of ride where you're having this huge, you know, this whole experience feels more to me like the future of amusement park rides, because that was really cool. I assume that you guys have been on that ride before.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. I like how theatrical it feels.
Yeah.
As you're moving from one place to the next, like, you're always doing something. You're engaged in it somehow. So it's not just I sit in cart, I do thing. It's like,
yeah,
I got to go into this thing and I was a part of this thing. This person talked to me and then we moved and did this other thing. And it's just like you're always interacting with the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the cast members playing the role when you get off.
Oh, it's
the
so much fun.
Ship. Like, my wife didn't listen, and she laughed at them, and the woman got this close to her face. She's like, "Do you think this is funny, scum?" And it was just like that, because she was like, "Oh my God, a Disney employee is yelling at me."
Yeah.
I'm like, you should have listened to the Imperial officer.
That must be a highly wanted job.
Oh, yeah. I think of how
because
cathartic
that is.
You get
to be
is.
Snarky to the cast, or as a cast member, you get to be snarky to
like
the guests.
Like the stormtroopers that walk around with Kylo Ren or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They get to sass people. That's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But we had fun with that. My son was younger and he got scared of them. And Rey happened to be leaving as they were coming in.
Mm.
So he like ran to Rey as she was walking out.
Cute.
And then she like went like this and went with him behind her and then pulled out her staff as they walked. So, yeah, it's a really fun experience. Yeah. We were there a few weeks ago. We were trying to meet Mando or Ahsoka, but we couldn't find them. But. Because my favorite character is Ahsoka. I love her journey.
She's
I think
great,
her book
yeah.
is great.
Yeah.
I think her line in Rebels where she says, "I am no Jedi," is just, I even, as nerdy as I am, I built a purple lightsaber because Mace. And then I went immediately to the shop and bought the white crystal so I could have the white lightsaber. So that's the one I have. And my daughter, same thing, because she grew up, my oldest, grew up with Rey. Like, that's her person. So, because she's at that age, and she went to the shop, she got the yellow one. So we both got white and yellow, and we walked out. But when we
That's cool.
built them, it's different colors. It was very cute. But yeah, so Tim and I wanted to do the hotel, but then we saw the price tag, and we were like,
"So glad we didn't do that."
No, and then it shut down.
Yeah, I wonder why. No one can afford it.
The only person I know that went is Goth. No one else I know has been. Goth is the only person I know that went. That being said, they have to repurpose this into something. It like it's just sitting in both parks.
Yeah.
And it's a they paid.
They did it in both. I thought it was only Orlando.
I thought it was in California too. Is
no.
it only Orlando?
No, we don't have the hotel. I don't think.
All right.
Okay. So it's just Orlando. Oh, yeah. Man. What a big flop. Like, it was still a flop.
It's still a flop. Come on.
I don't know what they're going to turn
it
into.
It sounded so cool. And then when they said how much it was, then it was like, I mean, on top of the price of going to, you know, an amusement park, which, like, for if you're local, it's different. But, I mean, for me, if I, you know, if I weren't, like, a streamer or whatever, like, if I was going to take my kids to Orlando and then stay in a hotel, like, there's no way you can afford that. That's insane. So no, I don't really know what, like, they were thinking with that.
It was a cruise ship price. Like, you were paying as much as you would pay to go on one of their cruise ships, but it was on land
for 36 hours.
And you had to LARP. Like, that's what Goss said. He said the only way that you could really enjoy it is if you were actually, like, into being
right, like a rent in a role situation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But you're paying a lot of money, like way too much money for that.
To Star Wars role play.
He said if you don't LARP, it's not worth the money or on the experience. So, and I would say probably 85% of people aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, cool idea.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
Poor execution. But I still feel like it'll be something. The one thing I don't want them to turn it into is like a cell phone charging lounge. That's what I'm scared they're going to do.
It would be sick, though, if they kept it.
Like, go cool off in here in this thing that we built for millions of dollars. I don't know. We'll see. Back to Star Wars content in the future. Let's talk about the future now. You got Acolyte coming out in 2 or 3 weeks. Uh-huh. That's going to we were talking before about High Republic and your experience with it. I'm assuming you're going to watch it, A, live action, give it a whirl.
It's dark.
Yeah.
Very dark, according to, you know, what they've given us so far. We got a glimpse at the Sith. Well, we assume it's a Sith in the last trailer.
Also has as Trinity far, in it. Super excited for the cast. So good.
As the guy from Squid Games, too, is the lead Jedi. Going into that, knowing you didn't enjoy the books, but it sounds like, you know, you're also sick of the Skywalker saga. You feeling like this might be something you could enjoy and maybe would bring you back to the books? Or is it something like I'll wait for season two or more High Republic content to come out on screen at that point?
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it. I just think that for me personally, it's been a bit more few and far between for shows that I've really enjoyed that they've made about Star Wars, because it's basically just Andor that I really liked. And I've watched pretty much all of them except for Bad Batch. And I think there was like another, did they put out the droid one already there that they had teased? There was like some kind of like droid buddy TV show that they had teased.
Is that the, what's his name? Is it the one with the kids?
Skeleton Crew?
Yeah, Skeleton Crew?
That's maybe. December.
Oh, okay.
With Jude Law?
Okay, so maybe that one hasn't come out yet. But yeah, so I'll definitely check it out. I'm always kind of, you know, like I'll watch it and see if it's good or not. I just think that they focus so much on specifically the Force stuff. So it's not just like the Skywalker saga. It's the fact that it's like, Star Wars really is like a galactic political machine. And it's not just about like these people have the Force and these people don't. It's like, that's why I really like Andor, because it was really, you know, about the oppressive thumb of, you know, the Empire and how it affects just regular people, and how regular people are able to rebel against that. So it's like every time there's like another TV show and it's like more Jedi, I think, I don't know. It's the same kind of feeling of Marvel content that I'm getting, where it's so much stuff and it's so much of kind of the same thing that it really has to be different for my attention to be drawn to it. And that's what Andor did really well, I think. So yeah, but I've not been watching any of the trailers because I don't like getting spoiled. And so I've seen like the logo for it, and I've actively avoided watching trailers because I just want to go into it kind of blind, because otherwise I'm going to start making opinions before I have any right to. So
that's fair.
That's the best opinion from a Star Wars fan I've ever heard, because you usually get the opposite where they're like, well, now I have expectations. Are you going to fulfill them?
Yeah, Lucas? My expectations have never been lower. So they can, you know, if the show is adequate, then it'll be great.
So. It looks interesting. It looks very dark. I mean, the timeline is the beginning of the fall of the Jedi. Like it's the beginning of their decline to where we get 100 years later, Phantom Menace. So I think it'll be interesting to see like what got them to that point.
Yeah.
I think the big thing, I know I mentioned, I might spoil a little bit. There is a dark side right. character in the trailer. And
I kind of figured with the name of it being Acolyte that it would
yeah.
be. Yeah.
There's also an assassin and supposedly she's a former Jedi. So it's like,
yeah,
maybe she's a Sith. Who knows? The biggest thing that the fuck boys all over the internet are caught up on is like, oh, well, in Phantom Menace, they said the Sith haven't been seen for 1,000 years. And Tim and I keep going back and saying, like, do you believe everything that the government or school or everything they tell yeah. you? Or, like, that they're organized enough to know, like, right. that maybe there was a sighting? Or I was like, what if all those people that saw him are dead? Mm-hmm. Like, the list goes on and on. So I don't like when people formulate those types of opinions because
yeah.
just
said-
off the top of my head, I can come up with many excuses as to why you're wrong and why the Jedi, you know, order would ache. Why would they want it to get out that they're Sith in the galaxy? Like, you know, yeah. it's just obvious answers to those questions. But I really like that you said the part about like Star Wars is a giant political thing because I hate yeah. people who are keep your politics out of my Star Wars. I was like, God, you should listen to one interview with George Lucas. Just one. Space just Nazis. One.
Or like actually just watch literally at the movies. You know, like it just the first movie, that's it. You know, like the whole thing is just about the Empire versus the Rebellion. So
and George even says the Rebellion is based on like the Viet Cong. That was
yeah,
his
he did
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, come on. It just gets yeah. a little ridiculous when people say that. And we talked about it earlier when we were talking about the darker tone. Star Wars, at the end of the day, it is for kids at its base. That's what it's for. We can all enjoy it of all ages. Yeah. But that's who it's geared towards and made for. But it has political overtones. Like, it's there, and you can't deny it. So
yeah.
it'll be interesting, in my opinion, to see what was, like, this... Because Tim and I have read probably all the High Republic books at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
this,
man.
You know, very strong, stoic Republic start to crumble to where we get to 100 years later in the Phantom
Menace. It's also really cool seeing the Jedi, like, start to crumble as well. Like, you're really starting to see a lot of these, like, pillars that they say are so strong and that they... are to uphold and like they're just crumbling from underneath them.
Right.
But like you said, Kevin, like they're trying to hold it together with like bubble gum and paper clips.
Yeah. And that's why I love Yoda, because Yoda is seeing all of this. Yeah. He lives through all of it. He lives through the best times. And even he talks about in the cartoons struggling with the dark side and all of this stuff that he's had issues with over the years. And I'm sure he was kind of a dick when he was the first couple hundred years of being a Jedi. So now we get to now. You know, he's very wise. He's seen it all. He's been through it. That's why he is the way he is in, you know, I guess you could say most of the movies. He's not in all of them, but is because he's been alive for 800-900 years witnessing all of this. So
yeah,
I have no doubt that we'll see Yoda in Acolyte. He will definitely make an appearance. And it'd be interesting to see like where he's at mentally and his temperament.
God, I hope
120 so. Years prior to when we first meet him.
He's going to be so spry.
You think he's still kind of old at that age?
He hopping around.
I mean, in the original trilogy, he was pretty. It's weird because he was supposed to be like older, you know, technically in the mm-hmm. timeline, but he was very goofy in those movies. Like on Dagobah, he was really a goofy guy. He was like messing with Luke like crazy. It was really funny.
I also think that was his temporary insanity from being alone for years.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, Yoda is so cute. And you're like, actually, Yoda had dementia.
No, he's insane.
So. Oh, no. Oh,
I think bad. Just think he only had was swamp animals to talk to for, well, and
that's
Qui-Gon
and
for like
the
20
Force,
years.
Yeah. He's just
yeah,
meditating.
Who else knows? Who else? Probably other Jedi visited him along the way, too, but... You know, he's a little loopy. But I remember in the theaters for Attack of the Clones when he fought Dooku,
yeah.
the theater was like, people were throwing popcorn and going nuts.
Yeah, because the arthritis goes out the window and he starts bouncing off the walls.
But then he uses the Force to pick up his cane after the fight's over. That's the best part about that.
I get it. You know, I go up the stairs. I don't want to have to bend over to pick something up either. So that's fair.
It only gets worse, Anne. That's all.
Oh, jeez.
Tim will forever. He's like, Kevin, you're still young. Stop talking like that. I'm like, nuts.
In your prime, Kevin.
I'm in my prime. But, well, I we appreciate you hanging out with us today. It's been a blast getting to know your whole Star Wars side of you and everything. But I also know you're doing some stuff with St. Jude right now. So I'd love for you to talk about that and where people can hang out with you and find out more about that.
Yeah. Well, so this year, next month actually is 10 years since I started streaming on Twitch. And so I decided I'm going to do a 10-year anniversary, 10 hours of Minecraft, and I'm going to raise in that stream $10,000 for St. Jude. We've started the fundraiser already, and we're about, I think, almost to 3,000. So thank you to those of you who have already donated. And that will be on June 30th, so at the end of the month, and there's going to be, like, raffle prizes and all, you know, the whole shebang that you would normally find at a fundraising stream. And I'm going to be playing some Minecraft all day, pretty much. I think Lupo's going to be there, and a couple other people are going to play, and it's going to be like a little party. So
nice. And where can people find you at?
Twitch.tv/ammunition. Also on YouTube, I dual stream on both most days. And then pretty much everywhere is just ammunition. That's it.
And that's ANNEMUNITION for those on audio.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't think about the fact that some people are just going to be listening to my voice and not watching, maybe. So,
because people will go to twitch.tv/ammunition and be like, where is she?
That's not her.
This doesn't
make any
sense.
I can't say that word normally anymore, though, so it's hard for me. Ammunition. Got it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. It's been a blast. And like you said, if anyone wants to find your content, just search ammunition. It comes up when you Google it immediately. So
if you want to ask me more questions about Star Wars things, and especially my buddy Thrawn over here.
I didn't happy see to him before. Look
yeah,
at that.
My Is tiny that... little bust of Thrawn. He's got an Ace Lamari on his shoulder, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's so.
Thrawn's, I love
Well,
Thrawn.
Before we go, do you like new Thrawn, though, from what you've seen in media so far?
I think Tim and I, it sounds like Tim and I have a same kind of opinion where they were just like, we need a generic Empire man. Let's grab
Thrawn.
Doesn't
make sense.
Yeah. I love
Thrawn.
Book Thrawn from the
books. And whatever
dope.
We get on TV is not the same.
No, it doesn't have the same feeling. I wasn't as scared of him as I am in the books. On the TV show, I was like, yeah, it's Empire guy, you know. But in the books, you're like, oh, shit, this guy knows everything. So,
just by looking at a painting that you drew in third grade.
Yeah, he's like, now I know how to defeat you. You're like, I drew this for my mom when I was like 7. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to destroy your entire planet
Precisely.
Now. So.
Well, you can find Tim. He's Darkness429 everywhere on the internet. I'm Kevin, KMagic101 or KevinXVision on Twitter. We are Star Wars and Scotch. You can search for us. Thanks for rating, reviewing, and subscribing. Please continue to do that, and please continue to check the show out every week. We have Rex is here next week, Tim.
We'll be here next week, yeah.
Our buddy Rexzilla will be here next week, and then I believe the week...
Then we're off to Acolyte.
Is it Acolyte a week after that? So yeah, we're two weeks out from Acolyte. 3 weeks.
Well, we gotta get another guest.
I'll find somebody. I'll find somebody. But thank you so much for hanging out. We appreciate you, and we will see you next week. But until then, Timmy?
May the Force be with you.
Always.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.